sponsored by our friend by Seth Maggot in memory of his mother, Chana Bashmuel. That's like 2 out of 4 weeks the Maggots are sponsoring. So that's some kind of record. Okay, start with an apology. I did not plan to speak about Zionism and stuff like that. It's just, it's in this week's Parsha. And, you know, let's just make it clear. I lived in Teaneck for 20 years, and if it wasn't for an act of God, I would still be living in Teaneck. So, you know, no one should take anything I say as like some kind of speech about, or, I don't know, looking down on. It's nothing like that. It's Torah, and we're sharing it together. Okay. How to start? Everybody, well, I don't know, me, my kids learned the song, as did most everybody else's kids. You know, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. It's a great song. Except what if it turns out that Hashem is more here than there, or more there than here? I want to work towards an idea in the Ramban that I think is true, that of course Hashem is anywhere he wants to be, but it could be that he wants to be in one particular place more than he wants to be in other places, and that impacts a lot of things in halacha. Okay, leave that as one introduction, and let's go to another introduction. It's often the case that the most famous and the most advanced machlokesim that we have might come down to the simplest issue, and the simplest issue is how to read a pasuk in the Torah. You know, we always think there must be a gazillion gemaras we don't know and Tosefta and all this stuff. No, sometimes some of the most famous machlokesim are simply about how to read a pasuk. Now, the problem is we don't really read psukim anymore. I remember once Rav Moshe Lichtenstein told me he felt sad because he was learning Sefer Bereishis with his daughter that morning. And he said, you know, it's the last time my daughter will ever learn Sefer Bereishis for the first time. And it sounds weird until you realize, like when we read the Akedah, right? We're not nervous because we know how the story ends. When we read Psukim, we know what's going to happen in the end. But when you do it for the first time, right, it's different. So it's often the case that, you know, you read Psukim, but you bring your background ideas to it. You don't just read a Pasuk sort of fresh and new. You know a lot of things, and you bring all those other things that you know to bear on the pshat and the pasuk. Okay, all that to get to psukim in this week's parsha, and the core machlokes, which is less important than it sounds. The core machlokes everybody likes to discuss, which is there a mitzvah of yishuv eretz Yisrael? Is there a mitzvah to live in the land of Israel? Okay, it's much more interesting as a construct than it is as a real machlokes. But let's look. Okay. So, the psukim in this week's parasha say as follows: Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe be'arvot Moav al Yarden Yerecho le'mor. Daber al bnei Yisrael v'amar talehem ki atem ovrim et ha'Yarden el Eretz Kanaan. Right? Just imagine we're massed on the east bank of the Jordan River. We're about to go in. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'horashtem et kol yoshvei ha'aretz mipneichem. You should disinherit, V'horashtem is not for you to inherit, but you should disinherit all the people who live there. V'ibadetem et kol maskiotam, ve'et kol salmei maseichotam ta'abidun, ve'et kol bamotam tashmidun, should destroy all the avodah zaras. And here's a pasuk, V'horashtem et ha'aretz v'shavtem ba. You should inherit the land, and not just that, you should live there. And he finishes, Ki lachem natati et haaretz l'rasha tata, because I gave you the land to live. Okay, and then a few psukim later, interesting, the opposite. Says the Torah, Ve'im lo torishu et yoshvei haaretz mipnechem, if you don't disinherit them, Ve'haya asher totir mehem litzikim be'enechem v'litzinim b'tzidechem, right? I'll leave the others who you leave behind will be literally thorns in your side, v'tzaru etchem al ha'aretz asher atem yoshvim ba, and they will make life miserable for you. V'hayak asher dimiti la'asot lahem eselachem, and that which I wanted to do for you, meaning to give you the land, I'll do for them, I'll give them the land. Just as an aside, it's interesting. In the context of the psukim, The fear is if you leave others in the land, that they'll be a bad example for you. They'll cause you to worship Avodah Zarah. It'll be terrible that way, right? There's no hint to actually what we have now, which is you have people in the land. They're not bad examples. Nobody's doing anything bad because there are Palestinians in Israel, but happens to be they want the land. Okay, leave that. Back. Vahorashtem et ha'aretz. How could anybody not count this as a mitzvah? Here's the pasuk. And you should inherit the land, v'yishavtem ba. And you should live there. So when you read a pasuk like this, you say, how could there even be a machlokas? Isn't it obvious? It's a pasuk in the Torah that says you have to live in the land of Israel. So what's the other reading? Right, my reading is v'horashtem et ha'aretz. It's an imperative. You shall, you must, v'yishavtem ba, and you will, and you have to, and you must live in it. The other possible reading is no, it's not an imperative. It's either you would call it a prophecy, a prediction, or a promise, right? Very often in the Torah, we'll come back to this, there are words that can be read either as imperatives, you must, or no, not as an imperative, but descriptive. It's going to happen. So the whole fancy machlokas, lumdus, whatever, about whether there's a mitzvah to live in the land of Israel or not, could simply boil down to how you read this pasuk. V'horashtem et ha'aretz v'yishavtem ba. It's a command. You must live in the land and you must inherit it. Or no, it's a prediction, it's a promise, or it's a temporary thing. You're about to go in. God says, go in. Here's how it should work. Okay, so that's where we start. Simply two possible readings of the psukim in this week's parsha. Now, I want to spend time on the Shitas HaRamban because I think it's amazing. The Ramban on this part, on our pasuk, V'ashtem et ha'aretz v'yishavtem ba ki lachem natati et ha'aretz l'reshet ota, the Ramban says, al da'ati zo mitzvat asehi. The Ramban says, in my opinion, this is a positive commandment. It belongs in Taryag mitzvot. It's interesting. This is Ramban ala Torah. It's not a halachic work, but sometimes, the way the Ramban writes something, similar to the way the Rambam does it sometimes, he knows something that you don't know. Meaning, the Ramban knew that the Rambam did not count Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah. So Ramban wants you to know he disagrees. He says, in my opinion, it's a mitzvah taseh. What is it? Yitzaveh otam sheyeshvu ba'aretz v'yirshu ota. It's a command that we're supposed to live in the land and inherit it. And here the Ramban says, makes a subtle but a really important point. Ki hu nitana lahem. Right, you go back to the pasuk, v'horashtem et ha'aretz v'yishavtem ba, you always just read the first part. No, ki lachem natati et ha'aretz l'reshet ota. The Ramban says, why would God give us the land if he didn't want us to live in the land? And if he wants us to live in the land, well, doesn't that make it a mitzvah? He says, because if you don't live in the land, v'lo yimasu b'nachalat Hashem, to not live in the land is to reject the inheritance of God. And now he says something interesting that resonates a little in history. V'ilu ya'ale al da'atam lalechet v'lichbosh eretz shinar o eretz ashur v'zulatanu l'tyashev sham, says the Ramban. Let's say the Jews get together and they say, you know what? We really want to live together. We want to live, with people who worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just Uganda seems like an easier place or better place, right? I don't know, New Square, Kiryas Yoel. These seem like good places, says the Ramban. Ya'avru al mitzvat Hashem. That's a violation of a divine commandment. And he says, U'mashi fligu rabotein b'mitzvat ha'yeshiva be'eretz Yisrael. The Ramban says, look, in a million places where Chazal talk about the importance of living in the land of Israel, and I won't read it inside, the famous halacha, right? If a husband wants to make aliyah and the wife doesn't, the halacha is he can divorce her and not pay the ksuba. So you think it's sexist? No. The opposite halacha also applies. The wife wants to make aliyah, the husband doesn't want to. She can demand a get, and he has to pay the ksuba. Says the Ramban, of course it's a mitzvah. Look all over Chazal. By the way, that's the point I tried to make at the beginning. I believe the Ramban, of course, that he reads the pasuk that way. But I think part of it is he knows how important living in the land of Israel is to the Jewish people, to our identity. Maybe that influenced him. Okay, he says, Ki hakatuv hazehi mitzvat aseh. And he says that it's in plenty other psukim in the Torah. But then he admits Rashi. Aval Rashi piresh, v'horashtem et ha'aretz, v'horashtem otam miyoshva. No, it means to disinherit the other people. If you disinherit them, az vishavtem ba, tuchlu lehitkayem ba. If you get rid of the other people, then you'll be able to live safely. V'im lav lo tuchlu lehitkayem. Right, according to Rashi, it's not a mitzvah, it's advice. God says, listen, when you go into the land, get rid of the other people. Because if you don't, you're not going to be able to stay. They're going to rebel, there's going to be something wrong, right? So Rashi, without getting into, is it a machlok, is it a mitzvah or not? Rashi says a simple pshat and psukim is not an imperative, it's not a command. It's simply descriptive, or it's good advice. God says, go in, inherit the land that way, and get rid of all the other people. If you don't, you're in for trouble. Okay, those are two ways to read the psukim. I just wanted to bring an example of what I think is a very, very similar machlokes. It's also Rambam and Ramban, just in how you read psukim. Most people understand, it's more advanced, but most people understand there's a machlokes, whether there's a mitzvah to do tshuva or not. Okay, in Parshas Nitzavim, in source number 3, we read as follows. Okay, one day God's going to bring you back. And you will, here it is, you will return to God, or you must return to God and listen to his voice. And then if you return to God, then Vishav Hashem Elokecha Shvutcha V'richamecha, then God will return to you and bring everybody back. Vishaviki Betzcha Mikol Ha'amim Hashehefitzcha Hashem Elokecha Shama, and he will ingather all of the exiles. The Ramban says, hey, look at that. Vishav Tad Hashem Elokecha. That's the mitzvah saseh min haTorah, to do tshuva. It says you have to return to God. Okay? What's the other reading? The other reading is, it doesn't say you have to return to God. It's a nevuah. That's what the Rambam says. It's a prophecy. God says one day after all the brachos and klolos, you will return to me. I will return to you. We'll all go back to Eretz Yisrael. But it's not a command. It's a prediction. It's a prophecy. Okay, now here too, you could say it's as simple as, how do you read the psukim? But there too, I assume that you come with some kind of preconceived notion. Either you think, you know, we like to say that tshuva is a mitzvah. But if tshuva is a mitzvah, you know, think of the downside. What does it mean then? God forbid I was mechal Shabbos. Then when I don't do tshuva, right, it's like I did another aveira. That seems tough. The other sheet is tshuva is not a commandment, it's a gift. Right? Maybe like Eretz Yisrael is, it's a gift. You want to take advantage of it, that's great. You don't want to take advantage of it, that's your decision. God's not making you. Okay? So on a certain level, I think the machlokes about whether Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah is very similar to the machlokes about whether tshuva is a mitzvah. And it's simply, do I read the psukim as a command, or do I read the psukim as an opportunity, as advice, as a prediction? Okay. Let's go back to the Ramban's idea. And the Ramban's idea is, you know, God has made it clear in some kind of broad way. God has made it clear that he wants us to live in the land of Israel. That makes it a mitzvah. So it happens to be, just because this is Parshas HaShavua, the Ramban uses the same idea to explain a parsha a little bit later in Matos. And that's source number 4. That's the din of Arei Miklat, cities of refuge. Basically, all the Mefarshim discuss the following. Why does the Torah have to repeat the mitzvah of Arei Miklat here? We already got it. It was given earlier in the Torah. Why is it so important for there to be another parsha? So the simple answer is, well, Bnei Israel are about to go into Eretz Yisrael, and that's where they're going to set up Arei Miklat. So the Torah wrote it again here. The Ramban, among other things, is bothered by the fact that it happens to be, even though we don't think about it this way, that the idea of an ir miklat is not a mitzvah hatzluya ba'aretz. It's b'chol moshvotechem, the Torah says. I don't know exactly how it would work, you know, to set up a city of refuge in Bergen County. I don't know exactly how it would work, but it's a mitzvah. The idea applies. So the Ramban, we're not going to read the Ramban inside because we don't have time, but the Ramban says, look at the Pesukim. You're about to go in. Okay? V'hikritem lachem arim. You should establish special cities. Arim miklat tihiyana lachem v'nas shama rotzeach makei nefesh bishgaga. Okay, special cities of refuge where accidental murderers can go and hide out. And then you have a really odd pasuk. Says the Torah, v'lo tikhu kofer lanus al ir miklato. You cannot take literally a bribe from the accidental murderer, lashuv lasheves ba'aretz ad mota kohen. Right? Meaning, you know, the accidental murderer is incredibly, incredibly rich. So he says, listen, instead of making me go to an ir miklat, I'll build a shul. I'll pay for the whole mikvah. It'll be better for the society. It'll be better for the town. No, the Torah says you can't do that. Why not? V'lo tachanifu et ha'aretz. Because that you would be lying to or misleading the land asher atem ba, ki hadam hu yachanif et ha'aretz, v'la'aretz lo yichupar ladam asher shupach ba, ki im bidam shofcho. Says the pasuk, you can't take a bribe because the land, Eretz Yisrael, will rebel against you. Okay? The land will demand recompense for the crime. V'lo titamei et ha'aretz asher atam yoshvim ba, ki ani shochein b'tocha, ki ani Hashem shochein b'toch b'nei Yisrael. The Ramban says, no, the reason it's here is because it's revealing to us the fact that Eretz Yisrael isn't like other lands. Eretz Yisrael is a player. Eretz Yisrael is offended by the spilling of blood in its land. And even if everybody agreed in society that the better thing to do is to let the accidental murderer, you know, build a shul or build a school and come home, the land can't abide that. And the Ramban makes the point that the land of Eretz Yisrael, it's a player. It has opinions. It has feelings. It matters. And maybe you could make a deal elsewhere, but the land of Eretz Yisrael is different than other lands. And we'll see how exactly in a second. But the Ramban, I think, is subtly saying that Arei Miklat is connected to the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, right? We're going into the land and the rules are different in the land of Israel than they are elsewhere. It's true. The rules are on the book. An accidental murderer is supposed to go to a city of refuge, you know, even in Poland. But it matters more in the land of Israel. It makes a bigger difference in the land of Israel, and we'll see why in a second. Okay, but let's stop for a second and go back to the other Shita, just because it's famous and it's interesting. I don't want this to be the main point, but it's hard not to do it. And that is, how could it be that the Rambam does not count Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah? The Rambam has tons of beautiful Zionist things, and you know, speaks lovingly about the land of Israel. Could it really be that the Rambam doesn't count the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? So the person whose job it was to defend the Rambam, there's a sefer called Megillas Esther, which in any standard edition of the Sefer HaMitzvos, he basically, whenever the Ramban attacks the Rambam, as he does here, the Ramban says, hey, how come the Rambam left out the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? The Megillas Esther shows up and defends the Rambam. And he does it here also in source number 5. I didn't have it on my Bar Ilan, but it's quoted in a famous Avnei Nezer. He says, V'amegillas Esther kotav, sheta'am ha-Rambam shalom mina'ah. Why didn't the Rambam count Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah? Mishum she'eino noheges bizman ha-galut. Because it doesn't apply to in the exile. Now, it seems weird, but there is something to this. And it was later made famous by the Satmar Rebbe, you know, who I think, I don't really have an opinion versus the Satmar Rebbe, but it's clearly wrong. But the philosophy behind it is, and it's interesting, well, if God kicked us out, then he doesn't want us living there. Okay, that's the theory. So, but practically speaking, the Megillas Esther says the Rambam doesn't count mitzvahs that don't apply at all times. And this mitzvah doesn't apply at all times, so therefore the Rambam doesn't count it. Says the Avnei Nezer, v'guf divarav she'amar, and that which he said, shema shelomono harambam yeshivat eretz Yisrael, mishum she'eno noheget bizman hazeh v'lo hava mitzvah. No klum. Right, that's an insult. The Avnei Nezer, that's ridiculous. It's not true. You know, Megillas Esther says the Rambam doesn't count it because he can't, because it's not noig bizman hazeh. The Avnei Nezer says that's ridiculous. De im kein, if that's the case, lama mana trumotu ma'asrot v'chala she'ena noagim bizman hazeh. The Avnei Nezer says the Rambam counts plenty of mitzvos that are not noig bizman hazeh. Trumos, maestros, chala min haTorah, shmita, yovel, or better, binyan beis hamikdash. The Rambam counts that. And he says, Va'afilu bimei Ezra lo nagu min haTorah l'das haRambam trumos u'maestros. V'hadavar pashut shemitzvah shenoheget limot haMashiach chashuv noheget l'dorot. Says the Avnei Nezer, the Sachet Shavar, it's true, the Rambam has a rule. But the rule is, he counts mitzvahs so long as in theory they could apply. Now that includes Yemos HaMashiach, right? We'll build a Beis HaMikdash Limos HaMashiach. So the Rambam counts it as a mitzvah. He doesn't count mitzvos that will not apply again. So for example, certain halachas that relate to Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim aren't counted because we'll never do them again. The mitzvos relating to how to eat the man and not leave man over to the next day, he doesn't count because we're never going to do them again. But says the Avnei Nezer, he counts all other mitzvos that we would do again. And even if the Rambam held that living in the land of Israel was not a mitzvah during Galus, it would certainly be a mitzvah Limos HaMashiach. And based on that, it should be counted. Okay, so the Avnei Nezer allows for the possibility that maybe the Rambam Bizman Hazeh would not count it. Okay, wouldn't think it applies for the most part, and it's true. I grew up in a Zionist home, and the people I learned from, and yeshivas. You know, we live in a world where, but I really think it's true, where lemaisa, practically speaking, it's got to be the case that the Rambam thought it was a mitzvah. So why doesn't he count it? So the simplest answer, and the one that I think is most compelling, is the Rambam has certain rules about what constitutes one of the Tariag mitzvos and what doesn't. Okay? And one of the rules is, they're called the 14 Sharashim, and look in source number 6. Says the Rambam, HaShoresh HaRevi'i, She'ein ra'ui limnot hatzivuyim hakolalim haTorah kula. Sometimes, says the Rambam, there are mitzvos that are too big to be counted as a mitzvah. You know, it's Ushmartem et mitzvotai, right? That's a mitzvah. You should listen to my mitzvahs. But the Rambam doesn't count it because it's obviously not, it's like more of an exhortation. It's more of a big idea. So the simplest answer is living in the land of Israel is the gateway to doing all these other mitzvahs. It's foundational to the religion. It's what the religion is based on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, I'm making you the chosen people and I'm giving you the chosen land. So says the Rambam, that's not a mitzvah. That's foundational. That's bigger than a mitzvah. And so for technical reasons, the Rambam doesn't count it. People see the same idea in Shoresh number 10. HaShoresh HaAsiri She'ein Wa'ui Limnot HaHakdamot. We don't count something which is just the medium or the intermediary step to the ultimate, right? So say, I don't know, living in the land of Israel allows you to bring karbanot allows you to build the Beis HaMikdash, allows you to do all these other mitzvahs. So we don't count living in the land as its own mitzvah, because really what it does is allow you to do many, many, many other mitzvahs. I happen to like the first one better, that it's too big to be its own mitzvah.
Joel, yes. It also shows your desire to be close to Hashem, because Hashem shochein sham, right?
But that has nothing to do with whether you count it as a mitzvah. Yeah, you're right, and we'll come back to that idea. There are huge philosophic ideas behind living in the land of Israel. But in the realm of counting it as a mitzvah or not, the idea is, within the Rambam at least, that presumably he thinks it's too a mitzvah. I'll just say, because it's a funny story, maybe I'll tell you more stories later. Rav Lichtenstein once told us that in his early years in Israel, he went to this Vada. He was invited to be part of the Bnei Akiva leadership, in which they were setting out a syllabus, you know, for a bunch of topics, obviously, you know, one of them being Zionism. And he said, somebody at the meeting said, listen, we all know there's a mitzvah to live in the land of Israel. And we all know the Rambam didn't count it for technical reasons, so we won't teach that. We'll just say there's a mitzvah. And reminds, and I said to them, what are we, charedim? We're going to hide, you know, certain ideas from our students? No, we'll tell them the truth. The Ramban says it is. The Rambam says it isn't. Now, you can explain the Rambam as not saying it is for a technical reason, but we're not going to ignore the fact that that's his shita. Okay, many people try, we'll back up for a second, and I'll try to do this fairly. The Satmar Rebbe, the first Satmar Rebbe, really, you know, who got World War II wrong, and basically, you know, told his Hasidim not to go to the land of Israel, and, you know, reestablish an incredible Hasidus in America. He, you know, he made, there's a Gemara at the end of Ksubos, on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Omad Aleph, it's source number 7. It did not take on play a central role in Jewish philosophy until the Satmar Rebbe made it so. He wrote a sefer or kuntres called Gimel Shvuos, in which he explained how the Holocaust was caused by the Zionists, who violated the Gimel Shvuos by going to the land of Israel. Okay, what are the Gimel Shvuos? So we'll do this quickly, but it's important to do it as part of this conversation. The Gemara says as follows: Gimel Shvuos Halalu Lama. What are these three oaths that were taken in connection with the exile? Achas Shelo Ya'alu Yisrael Bachoma. The first is that the Jews are not supposed to make aliyah like a wall, like a wave, right? Massive amounts of Jews. God made us swear that massive amounts of Jews won't go on aliyah at the same time. That's one. Second, va'achat, shehishpia hakadosh baruch hu es Yisrael shelo yimredu be'umos ha'olam. The second is God made us swear that we wouldn't rebel against the Gentiles. You know, when he sends us into exile, we won't rebel. And the third one was an oath that they had to take, the Gentiles. Va'achas shehishpia hakadosh baruch hu es ha'ovdei kochavim shelo yishtabdu bahen b'Yisrael yoser midai. Their deal is they're not allowed to oppress us too much. Okay? So the Satmar Rebbe showed up and said, so you see what the problem is with the world, is that we are in violation of this famous critical Gemara in Ksubos. Zionists are in violation of the Shvuah because we swore not to go back Bachoma, and now we're doing it. Okay, so the simple answer, and I couldn't be any clearer, the simple answer is that this Gemara in Ksubos is not brought down lahalacha by the Rif, and not the Rush, and not the Rambam, and not the Tor, and not the Mechaber, and not the Mishnah Brura, and not the Prima Gadim, and not any single responsible posek. Okay? It was never, you know, a critical halacha. It's an agadata, and it has to be understood as an agadata, and it has deep meaning. But to turn it into the central point, you know, of Judaism is, could be described as dishonest. Okay? That's for the halachic nature of the Gemara. But what about the meaning? Okay, it's still a Gemara. What does it mean? So what most people say, and there have been, you know, tons of smart people have written on this, is the following. First of all, we were not Ole Bachoma. There was no, you know, tens of thousands of Jews arriving at the same time in Israel or hundreds of thousands. There wasn't. There was a trickle that started in the late 1800s and it continued and it got bigger after the Holocaust, but it never was a wave. That's the first. But the bigger one, you know, the second one was, okay, sorry, we're not supposed to rebel. So already, I think it was in 1927, I think that's when the San Remo conference was, where the first time the world powers said, you know, the Jews should have a homeland in Palestine. That was followed by the, you know, the Balfour Declaration and then the UN vote in 1947. But the point, already the Netziv in his time said this. He said, you know, Batel Gimel Hashvuo. Once the world, once the UN said the Jews deserve a land, then we were not rebelling against the nations of the world when we moved back to Israel, because we had their permission. Okay, so much for the first Shvua, we didn't come Bachoma. So much for the second Shvua, we were not Moreid Be'umota Olam, because, okay, San Remo was in 1920, according to a WhatsApp I just got from my wife, who is a historian. But I was pretty close. I think 1927 was the Yankees. Okay, fine. Third, the Gentiles had to swear that they would not oppress us too much. Okay, and everybody points out the obvious, that if there was ever a time in the world where they abrogated their Shvua, it was the Holocaust. And if they violated their portion of the Gimel Shvuos by, you know, persecuting us way too much, then we are allowed to violate our part of it, and we can go back to the land of Israel. Okay, so A, it's not brought l'halacha by anybody. B, even if it was the halacha, there is, you know, there are plenty of really, really good explanations for why we did what we did. Okay, that's the Machlokas Rambam and Ramban. But now back to the Ramban and the Ramban's understanding, not just of the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, but I'll say this, our relationship with the land of Israel. And maybe one of the most dangerous Rambans, but really it makes you rethink things, is the Ramban in Achrimos. We know these psukim because we read them on Yom Kippur at Mincha. They're the Arayos, right? All the forbidden sexual relationships. And at the end of that section, the Torah says as follows in source number 8, Al ti tama'u b'chalela, ki b'chalela nitma'u ha'goyim ha'shani m'shalech mipnechem. Right? Don't defile yourself. That's what the Gentiles did before you. And here it comes. Va'titma ha'aretz, the land became defiled. The land, sorry for the word, vomited out its inhabitants because they offended the land with their behavior. Right? It's not just that we got the land, they got kicked out. The land should not spit you out, as it spit out the Gentiles who lived there before us. And now the Ramban lays out things that he hints to elsewhere, a philosophy of, I would say, the land of Israel. Okay, he says, here comes the Ramban. Right? There's a whole range of prohibited activities that a person can do. Right? We're not allowed to eat cheeseburgers. Says the Ramban, no. The Torah was machmir in sexual immorality. Why? Ba'avur ha'aretz. Because the land hates it. Shetitma bohen vataki hanifashot ha'oso. Because the land is offended by that kind of behavior. Now the Ramban points out the obvious. What are you talking about? Vihine ha'arayot chovat ha'guf ve'einan tuluyot ba'aretz. Right? There's no, the isser of sleeping with an Ashes Ish is prohibited. It's an isser d'oraisa in London and in Teaneck and in Tel Aviv and in Yerushalayim. So, Raman, why would it make any difference where you do it? That's a great question. And he says, Aval sod hadavar bakatuv she'amar. Ba'anchel al yon goyim ba'afido b'nei adam yatsev givulot amim l'mispar b'nei Yisrael ki chelak Hashem amo Yaakov chevel nachlato. Right? That's in Ha'azinu. And he explains, what does it mean? When God, the Pasuk literally says, when God split up the world, he gave portions to the Gentiles and he gave us, we are chelek Hashem amo. Okay? And he says, v'ha'inyan, ki Hashem ha'nichbad bara hakol. God created everything, including London and including South Africa and including Teaneck, v'sam koach ha'tachtonim ba'elyonim. Okay, bear with me here. He gave control of the lower sphere of the earth to the upper sphere. V'natan al kol am va'am ba'artzotam l'goyehem kochav u'mazal yadua ka'asher noda bi'itzdagninut. I'll just finish and I'll come back. He says every nation or every country received an astrological sign, an angel, a star, some mazal, right? Itzdagninut is astrology. Kinyan shekatub, visar malchut paras omed l'negdi. Daniel says, right? The angel of Paras was standing opposite me, or vihine sar yavan ba. Right? We've heard these ideas before. The sorrow shall Esav. So the Ramban says, it's not a metaphor. It's real. Every nation in the world was granted some kind of intermediary, some angel who has, now obviously the angel works for God, let's be clear. The Ramban was from, you know, but somehow there's something that has direct responsibility for that land. Again, the power with responsibility is a malach, and that malach obviously works for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that exists. Obviously, God controls Teaneck and London and everything else, just like he controls Israel. Aval, Eretz Yisrael be'emtza'ut ha'yishuv hi nachalat Hashem miyuchedet lishmo. The land of Israel, which is the center of the world, is particularly God's inheritance. And it's uniquely related to God. And therefore, lo natan aleha min hamalachim katzin shoter u'moshel. He did not leave or put something or someone in charge of the land of Israel. Bahanchilo oto la'amo hamiyuchad hamiyached shimo zera ohavav. The point of giving us a land was to make us unique. And the uniqueness is seen in the fact that we live in the only place in the world that has a direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in which there are no intermediaries. Again, for better and for worse. V'zeu shamar v'hitem li sigula mikol ha'amim ki li kol ha'aretz. What makes us unique? Yomar, ki hivdil otanu mikol ha'amim asher natan alehem sarim ve'elohim acherim. We're different in the fact that all other nations he left to some kind of intermediary. But bitito lanu et haaretz sheyehu yitbarach lanu leelokim v'nihiyeh miyuchadim lishmo. But there's one land. It's almost like the Ramban is saying, God chose us, and so, you know, we got to live in the chosen land, or God chose the land, and then he gave it to us, and through the land, we became the chosen people. V'hine ha'aretz shehin nachalat Hashem ha'nichbad, the land, which is God's chosen place, taki will spit up, kol mitameota, v'lo tispol ovdei avodah zarah u'megalim ha'aretz. The land simply cannot abide certain averos in its midst. And I'll give you an example, okay? It's also to eat a cheeseburger. Okay, so again, it's also to eat a cheeseburger wherever you are in the world. But if I told you there was a guy who ate a cheeseburger in the Beis HaMikdash, right, instinctively, we would be disgusted by that. Because that seems like an absolute rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Ramban. Now, eating a cheeseburger is not a mitzvah hatzluya ba'aretz. It's the same exact isser. But the Ramban is hinting at, yeah, but it's much worse. When you do it in God's face, it's much more offensive, right? The reaction is immediate. The way I understand this, and there could be other explanations, is every place else in the world, the reaction is not necessarily immediate because the impact between you and God is not direct. But in the land that God chose, in the land that makes us unique, the response is, you know, God can't abide by certain behaviors. And the response is immediate. And, you know, it's almost like after the Chet Ha'egel, God says, okay, you can go, but I'm not going with you. Right? Ki am k'sheyaraf ata pen achel cha, right? I'll just get furious if you sin again. And Moshe says, no, we want you. There is a downside, of course, to being with God. And that is, you know, God forbid, we could offend him. But the upside, you know, is unimaginably great. V'hu ma'amaram, last paragraph, the Ramban quotes the famous Gemara, kol ha she'eino eloka, you live in chutz la'aretz, it's domeh, whatever that means. It's like you have no, I don't know. Shenemar latet lachem et eretz kinan lihiyot lachem leilohim. I gave you the land in order to be your God. Ve'omer kiger, okay, we don't have to read that. Vihine akatuv shamar va'avaditem mehera v'samtem et rai eile. Eino mechayev begalut ela bechovat haguf bitfilin u'mezuzot. Right, this is a famous sheet of the Ramban that the chiyuv of tefillin and mezuzah and all these things in chutz la'aretz, it's a chiyuv, but uper shuba and kidei shelo yihyu chadashim alenu kishen nachzor la'aretz. One of the main reasons you do mitzvahs in chutz la'aretz is so that you'll know how to do them when you come back to Israel. Ki ikar kol hamitzvot la'yoshvim be'eretz Hashem. Because the main part of all mitzvot are doing them in the land of Israel. Now, how do we understand this? So I think the Ramban would say as follows, and I'm happy for people to disagree with me, and I'm happy for people to call out my biases and whatever. I think it's obviously the case that the same bracha that you make on a mezuzah in chutz la'aretz, you make in Eretz Yisrael, and the same wearing of tefillin, the same bracha, the same kiyum mitzvah, absolutely, whatever the score is, whatever reward you get for wearing tefillin or doing any, or keeping Shabbos or doing any mitzvah in chutz la'aretz, you get that reward in the land of Israel. But it matters more, I think the Ramban would say, to do it in the land of Israel. It matters more to do it in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not that you're going to get more reward, but the feeling is different. The relationship is different. Right? It's the difference between, I don't know, you know, giving a present and mailing a present. Maybe that's not a good example. But there's a directness to our kiyum ha-mitzvos in the land that God gave to us and that he wants us to live in. There's a directness and there's an element to doing mitzvos there that's in addition to what you do in chutz la'aretz. It's a different relationship. Rav Lichtenstein once told me, it's a great story for this. He said he used to pick up Rav Huttner, his first Rebbe. When Rav Huttner would visit Israel, he'd pick him up. And so he picked him up in the afternoon, and Rav Huttner told him, oh, you know, we have to stop. You know, I want to put on tefillin. So Rav Aaron said to him, well, you put on tefillin this morning. You daven Shabbos on the plane. And he said, but that was chutz la'aretz tefillin. Now I want to put on, you know, Eretz Yisrael dikha tefillin. Now, again, it's the same mitzvah. But the Ramban's view of the land of Israel is much more central to who we are. And if it's much more central to who we are, then it impacts much more. It's true, Shemitah only applies, and Yovel, and all the things that are mitzvahs atluyos baretz. But the Ramban's idea is, it's not limited to halacha. It's much bigger than that. The land of Israel, you know, is where God lives, and therefore everything you do, good and bad, and nowadays I think of the bad, but everything you do, it registers more directly and more impactfully. Now, let's finish. You could look at, we don't have to read it, we'll look quickly. Source number 10 is where the Ramban counts this as a mitzvah in his Sefer HaMitzvos, right? Mitzvah revi'it she'nitztavinu la'resha ta'aretz ha'shenatan ha'kel yitbarach v'yitalel la'avotenu la'avraham li'itzokul Yaakov V'lo na'azva biyadzu latenu min ha'umot o lishmama. We can't let other people live there, and we can't let it lie desolate. And he says, imkein hi mitzvat aseh ledorot, mitchayev al kol yachid mimenu, va'afilu bizman galut, ki yadua b'talmud b'mekamot harbe. Okay, he says it's not a communal mitzvah, it's an individual mitzvah. Okay, a couple of last points that tie into everything we discussed. One is an idea I saw recently from Rav Goren, the previous rabbi. He was the Rav Rashi along with Rav Ovadia in the 80s. Rav Goren has an unbelievable explanation for why the Rambam doesn't count Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah. He says it's well known, and we can make a whole shiur out of this. I'll just give you the idea. He says it's well known. The Rambam says that Taryag mitzvos nitzavu Moshe Rabbeinu b'Sinai. The Rambam on it, Rambam says, any mitzvah you got before Har Sinai doesn't count. Okay? Says Rav Goren, the mitzvah of living in the land of Israel wasn't really given to Moshe. And it wasn't really a Har Sinai mitzvah. And he says there's no place in the Torah where it connects Moshe Rabbeinu to the land of Israel. What's the land of Israel? It's the land that God, Asher Nishbati, LeAvraham, LeYitzchak, LeYaakov. Says Rav Goren, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael was given at Bris Ben Abisarim. It's the only mitzvah that was given before the Torah that survives after the Torah. So he says the Rambam couldn't count it, because the Rambam says there are 613 mitzvahs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Actually, 611. And the first two were given directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, so you can't count the land of Israel. You can't count the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because that goes all the way back to the Bris Ben Abisarim. That was something that wasn't given to Moshe. It was given to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, that's a huge historical point and a bigger discussion, but not for now. Let's finish with two Gemaros, one which supports the Ramban, and one which is just something we all have to see. Source number 11, the Gemara in Sota, Yudalet Amud Aleph says, Dash Rav Simloi. Okay, we're now at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Asks the Gemara, Mipnei ma nitave Moshe Rabbeinu likaneis la'aretz Yisrael? Why was Moshe so desirous of living in the land of Israel? V'chi la'echol mipriyahu tzarich? Right, like a funny question. What? Because he wants to tour, he wants to eat the great fruit. O lispa mituvah tzarich, right? He wants to eat great bread. No. Elokach amar Moshe. The Gemara puts this into Moshe's mouth. Harbe mitzvot nitztavu Yisrael. We were commanded to do many mitzvot. Ve'ein mitkaimim ela be'eretz Yisrael. Moshe said, there's a lot of mitzvot at tluyos ba'aretz. I can only do them in the land of Israel. Ekanes ani la'aretz kidei sheyitkaimu kulan al yadi. I want to go into Israel so that I could do mitzvot. Amar lo hakadosh baruch hu. And it's hard. I don't know who says this. I don't know whose pshat it is. I hope it's somebody else, but it's like a knock on Moshe Rabbeinu. So God says to him, "Klum ata mevakesh ela lekabel sachar." The only reason you want to go into the land of Israel is to be rewarded. Ma'ale ani alecha kilu asitim. You know what? Fine, I'll give you the reward. Now you don't have to worry about it anymore. I think the idea is no. It's the Ramban's idea. You don't go to Israel so that you can do mitzvos that you couldn't do in America. You know, God says, okay, Moshe, if you want the reward, I'll give you free reward. No, you go there for your relationship with God. You go there because it's different. You go there because you're closer. You know, again, for better or for worse. And it sounds like in this Gemara, and it explains, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, got it wrong or could have gotten it wrong. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains, no, you wear tefillin in Chutz La'aretz, you put up mezuzahs, you do all these things, and they're meaningful, and you get full schar for them. But the emotional part, the relationship part, that's available in the land of Israel in a way that it's not available in Chutz La'aretz. Another Rav Lichtenstein, Rav Huttner story, really quickly. Rav Aaron once told us that Rav Huttner asked him at some point, you know, what's different about living in the land of Israel than living in Chutz La'aretz? And Rav Aaron said what I thought was a great idea, and that seems right to me. He says, you know, my life in Israel is more holistic. It's not really divided. Like, in a, you know, he says, You go to shul, that's part of living in Israel. You go to the makolet, that's part of living in Israel. You go to, you go to work, that's part of living in Israel. It feels more unified. And he said, Rav Huttner said to him, wrong. What's special about living in Israel is that you get to live in Israel, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't. Which I think the idea is it's the emotional part. It's the feeling, it's the relationship. Okay? As long as we're on the theme of picking on Moshe Rabbeinu, one more medrash that we'll read about in 2 weeks in Va'aschanan, and we'll end with this. The medrash says an unbelievable thing. I'll say most of it outside. The medrash asks, Moshe complained. I'll read this part, it's great. Amar lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, Atzmotav shel Yosef nichnasu la'aretz. The bones of Yosef get buried in the land of Israel. Va'ani einei nichnas la'aretz. And I don't get to go in. This is Moshe Rabbeinu in the Medrash complaining to God. God answers him, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi shehode ba'artzo, nikvar bi'artzo. Mi shelohode ba'artzo, eino nikvar bi'artzo. Okay, the person who acknowledged being from Israel gets to get buried in Israel, and the person who didn't doesn't. What does it mean? So I'll just say, Yosef, when he was slave, right? They said, Re'u hevi lanu ish ivri litz. And in fact, he said, Gunov gunavti me'eretz ha'ivrim. He acknowledged that he was from the land of Israel. Therefore, he merits being buried in Israel. But God complains, but you, Moshe, who did not acknowledge coming from Israel, you don't get to be buried there. Ketzad. Beno Yisro omrot, Ish Mitzri hisilanu miyad haroim. They described him as an Egyptian. Vehu shomea v'shotek, and he didn't correct them. Lefikach lo nikvar ba'artzo. That's the Gemara.
But Moshe was not born in it.
Jackie asks the Ostrovsa Rebbe, but the facts are different. Yosef, in fact, was Israeli, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was, in fact, born in Egypt. Answers the Rebbe as follows. It doesn't matter. Being Israeli, being connected to the land of Israel, is a mindset. It's an attitude, right? Last story, I promise, then we'll end. Yehuda Avner, if you ever read the book, The Prime Ministers, everybody should read it. It's fantastic. He has amazing stories. Yehuda Avner was the ambassador from Israel. He was born in England. He was British. And at some point, he was the ambassador to England. So you go, you bring your credentials to the Queen. So she said, I guess you make small talk. So the Queen said to him, I believe you're the first ambassador from another country who was born in Britain, who I've welcomed. So Yehuda Avner said to her, no, it's an accident. I really was supposed to have been born in my country in Israel, but 2,000 years ago, we got kicked out. But really, I'm Israeli from birth. And that's pshat in this Gemara. Everybody lives where they live for all the reasons that they live. But the question is, what's your emotional relationship with the land of Israel? What's your connection? And how do you see yourself? And at least, the compelling pshat in this medrash about Moshe Rabbeinu is that the facts don't matter. What matters is your attitude. If you relate to the land of Israel as if it's yours, if you care about the land of Israel as if it's yours, if you daven for it as if it's yours, then you have the right to be, an Ish Yisraeli. And so we saw both shitas. We saw, the interesting idea of reading psukim either as a command or as a promise, sometimes being the explanation for major machlokasim, whether it's a mitzvah or not, could be the explanation for the machlokas about whether it's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, just like it's probably the explanation for whether there's a mitzvah of tshuva or not. We saw the machlokes, Rambam and Ramban, explanations for why the Rambam might not count Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that he would think it's a critically important thing, right? Why the Gimel Shvuah is probably as important as the Satmar Rebbe thinks it is, but mostly the Ramban's approach, which is the land of Israel is part of what makes the Jews special. It defines our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and on some level, it's metaphysically different than other lands. It's governed differently, it relates to God differently, and on some level, whatever it means, your tefillin and mezuzah in the land of Israel is not more, but different than it is in other places. All right, that's enough for this week. Thank you to Seth. Thank you to everybody. Shabbat Shalom.